I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
The sounds of Mac Lish means it's only one thing. It's now time for that Wednesday night delight. Hello, everyone. My name is Philip Royce. You're listening to the NXT After Show. NXT, days before WrestleMania. This is part one of a two-part special known as TakeOver, not Tampa, because it comes to you live in the Performance Center. We're going through all the matches today because a lot of things happen on tonight's card. But before we do, let's introduce our all-star panel. Introducing first, Shane is a correspondent with Championship Wrestling from Arizona and is Emmy nominated. Give it up for Emily May.
Hi, everyone. I hope everyone's doing well in their homes, staying safe and enjoying all the wrestling.
I saw you this week on Zoe's Playlist After Show on AfterBuzz TV. It's pretty solid.
Yeah, it's amazing. I cover it every Sunday. It's awesome. And we had a great, we also have had a women's wrestling show weekly today as well. So
you're just hustling.
We're just speaking so much content out there. So.
This guy is the CEO of his own news media outlet. I mean, you're talking about interviews and podcasts and video clips, realtalking.com. Give it up for Chicago's own Jim Alexander.
That's right. It's all there. It's all coming. I'm getting text messages. I'm getting messages. I'm distracted, but I'm still delivering a show.
Oh, is it your agent? Why are they calling you now? What's the?
I know. Listen, there's a lot of girls in quarantine right now. Okay, they need someone to talk to. So I'm right
is
here
that what you call
for
your
everyone.
Keep it PG. Keep it PG.
Yeah, girls in quarantine is like a bad rock band, but
that sounds PG. like an E or Bravo show.
This show has never been PG. You're in the wrong show then. It's always rated JKO.
Oh, okay, give it up for JKO. So NXT TakeOver, no longer Tampa. For night number one, I guess we got a pay-per-view commentary team. Sam Roberts on commentary. I'm going to be positive. Sam Roberts was in the building, and that's all I'm going to say. Emily May, first with you, thoughts about the night overall?
You know, overall, I loved it. I think, you know, NXT and like WWE are dealing with a situation they've never dealt with before. They're having their takeover matches split up between a few days, a few weeks. And I feel like it was fantastic tonight. I felt like it was like a mini takeover. The wrestlers really got to focus on what was happening on, you know, what was important, and it got me really excited for this weekend, and it got me really excited for next week as well.
Why was Sam Roberts there? Jim Alexander, thoughts about
it. I could talk about Sam Roberts too. I thought he did a good job.
Jim Alexander's answering this when he had your turn.
Jim Alexander.
I don't know why he was there. He must have been the only one near that whole Tampa area, wherever. Well, this is Full Sail, right? So
no, Performance Center, I think, is it?
No, I think it was Full Sail tonight.
No,
tonight was Full Sail. Tonight was Full Sail, man. They keep on getting shots of Full Sail. Yeah. That's why. Couldn't you see it look that much damn better? The ramp wasn't 3 inches long. It was actually a few feet wider.
Not touching that one.
I like to. And in that case, it just looked better. I mean, so he might have been in the area. I don't know why. Hey, now we can at least say that he can't cut it in commentary, right? Maybe he's just bearable enough on actual, you know, a pre-show or something, but on commentary it doesn't go over. He doesn't have the energy for it or anything like that, not even his whole gimmick and all that, but so just the energy was off with him.
So I would kind of disagree with you guys there, just because I liked the different flavor tonight. You're dealing with a different energy right now because you're doing an empty arena. You don't have tons of people, so it's going to be a different energy. And I liked his color commentary a lot. I feel like he wasn't as negative as he usually is when he does pre-shows. And I feel like he still highlighted the right aspect of what was happening in the ring.
Well, I'm a company guy with AfterBuzz TV, so I won't go too much deeper than that. But it was a surprise. I'm not sure if it was a pleasant one. But the first match of the evening was...
I'll tell it as it is. I'll bury if needed. So there you go.
You can't bury a guy with a perm? All right.
Listen, I don't lie to my fans, okay?
You have fans?
No, but still.
You know, You know who doesn't have fans? Bobby Fish and his match against the Velveteen Dream. I guess the Velveteen Dream. Of course, we know what was going in. It looked like Velveteen had the momentum beating Roberts a couple weeks ago. But the match itself was pretty solid. And I thought it was pretty interesting that Sam Roberts called Bobby Fish the enforcer of the Undisputed Era. Jim Alexander, walk me through this. Talk about the match.
I mean, it's fine. I'm just kind of ready for Velveteen to move on from all this. You know, it's just been kind of dragging, even though he's been off for a while. I just don't want him associated with – he's beaten up. He's beaten Roderick. I mean, he needs to – if anyone, he should be wrestling Cole. You know, that's the only focus should be in there. Enough with the you know, cronies or whatever you want to call them, because they haven't stood out on their own. I don't care. Just drawing it out. It's drawing it out. At this point, just like – give something better to Velveteen. You tease them with Adam Cole. That's what we should be seeing. We shouldn't even be seeing him go backwards.
Yeah, I mean, Velveteen Dream, you know, he always puts on a great display of athleticism. And what I'm missing is trying to find where he fits into this universe right now. And I'm not sure. I like, Jim, you're right that I loved the tease with Adam Cole and like and Roderick Strong and kind of having that kind of buildup of a possible feud. And like, I feel like he's just not placed in the right place right now, but he does always showcase his talent and he's always great. And I always love watching him, but I'm trying to see where he's going to go next.
I gotta be fair. I'm honest with you. Like, Bobby Fish is my favorite guy in that whole group, which is a very small island to be on. I know he's the right.
Lost. Yeah, it's sinking. Okay. It's sinking.
Hey, I can admit that. If I had stock in Undisputed Era, I would probably sell off half of it now. But I'm just being honest with you, the match itself was pretty solid. I can tell that Bobby has been hitting up catering. Not shaming a guy, because I am too in quarantine. But Velveteen Dream is on the way back. He beat Roderick. He beat Bobby Fish tonight. Does he get a pass right up to Adam Cole? Does it have to go through O'Reilly too to make this story complete?
I mean, I think it's already been written, right? I mean, you've had your individual feud with Roderick Strong. That's been put to rest, it seems like. So Adam Cole is top of the food chain. Yeah. Why are we going backwards? It just doesn't make sense. It's like he's beaten everyone on the way that he needs to be to get to Adam Cole, right? And why is he kind of going backwards or stalling this? It just feels like a roadblock that's unnecessary for whatever reason. The next time I want to see Velveteen Dream associated with them, he could have had a different match with someone else. But if you're telling me he's going to be feuding with anyone from Undisputed Era, it's got to be Adam Cole. You know, that's the match we want to see. And that's the match that should be seen.
Got it. Emily May, moving on, we actually had a promo from Malcolm Bivens introducing Malcolm Bivens Enterprises. Now, I thought it was kind of interesting because Stokely Hathaway has been an independent darling for a long, long time. But as far as his term in WWE, he's kind of been a joke, specifically on the show The Bump, where they always tease he's going to be on every week and he's not going to be on every week. But in just a week's time, we're supposed to take him seriously, being the manager of this hot new tag team. Is it really a place for him to do that, or has fans or the outside perspective has already ruined the mystique of Malcolm Bivens?
Well, I think when you're in that type of position, you have to find a way to insert yourself in whatever creative capacity, in whatever way that you can. And so if they're not quite ready to use him as a main talent in NXT, then become a manager, then work on your promos, work on your kind of developing that creative outtake and kind of output, and just keep developing that. And maybe once this gets, you know, I love the teaser tonight. I feel like it's he's learning to be really great on the mic, and it's building. Like, they're building, they're putting little breadcrumbs out there, and I think it's a good place. If we have enough in-ring talent right now, then it's a great place for him to be to kind of build this next tag team.
Can I hold you to a prediction almost? So you have this tag team, which I haven't heard their names, I apologize, going against the Bruiserweights, Is it going to be some situations where you just give the titles to these guys and have them start off as a very serious tag team a la AOP? Or are these guys just being built up to be fed to Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne?
They can't be fed. Are you kidding me?
This guy's like future. How tall is he? He's like 7 feet tall.
I ask questions, man. I got questions.
No, I love it.
These guys have to go over. I mean, that's the thing. You kind of messed it up with AOP, and part of it's due to them constantly getting injured. I mean, you can't book when these guys are always on the shelf. And then the Viking Raiders were supposed to have this sort of similar push. You have a third chance to do this right, right? Mm-hmm. So these guys need to take these titles off of them. They're over right now, completely over. They have Mystique going to them. I like the managerial content that we have. Yeah. I think it's a perfect use of all of them together, especially since these guys shouldn't be much of talkers. I don't think they should be booked as talkers. They should be booked kind of like, we talk about old booking sometimes. These are classic guys from the late 80s, right? These big right. kind of, in like the head shrinkers in a sense, right? Or whatnot, but whatever, Indian head shrinkers, that's fine with me. And they're monsters. Okay, so let's take the titles off of Riddle and Dunn, and have Dunn actually turn on Riddle and start teasing that in some way, because that's where these storylines are going to kind of fall apart into their own places that they should be.
I'm gonna hold you to something, because you said they're getting over. I mean, they've only appeared on empty arena shows. How do you know they're over?
They're over because right now everyone, we're talking about them, right? So that's over. They made
we're talking about everything, to be honest with you. That's,
we have a whole list of things we're going to talk about.
We talk to everybody, yeah.
Hey, I only talk about stuff that interests me. So that's one thing right there. They made a mark. It's not like they're feuding against, like, sometimes we get those local jobbers. They're going after a top guy. They're going after Riddle and Dunn. So it's like, if they're putting him in that spot against those two guys, that means they have confidence in him and they want to give him a proper debut and start, and I feel like they have. You're going after tag team champions, you're in a good place.
Yeah, but you have to also remember that I don't think they're going to take the titles right away. You have to build to it, and that's why they're putting these little promos out there. They're so slowly introducing them to the fans, and they have to do it. That's why they're doing a little bit before WrestleMania, and then once WrestleMania hits, it's going to be a whole new fresh start for a lot of the talent, and from there they can grow new and develop new storylines. And so I think it's going to be a little bit longer than what we think.
But you don't have to do it. You don't have to do a long term. That's how you make Kevin Owens, when he came on to Raw, did he take a long turn? No, he beat Cena right away. That's how you establish. That's how you make an impact, when it's like, whoa, who is this guy? And he won from day one. Like, that's how you bring on stars onto a scene. Cena beat Kurt Angle, right, in his first match, and had was fed to Angle. I mean, these are the ways to make a guy impact. You know what I mean? That's what you need to do.
Cena lost that match, but I get what you're saying.
But whatever. I totally get what you're saying, but they also have to figure out who, because, like, right now they need to build the tag team division, and this is one way to do it, but they also need a different variety as well. So
here's my problem with this. And if you're just watching NXT, it's not much of an issue. But if you're, say, a power fan or a super fan, and you watch The Bump every week, and The Bump, we're going back to like November, had this gag every week where Malcolm Bivens was always bumped. Hey, sorry, Malcolm Bivens, no time for your show. Hey, sorry, Malcolm Bivens tries hacking into The Bump one week. He shows up on the Kevin Owens episode and tries to have an interview via phone, and his face is on a cell phone on a chair. But to me, it's kind of a comical gimmick. And now you're coming in saying, this guy's a badass, here's my team. To me, it was a bit of a disconnect. It's like, well, what is Malcolm Bivens? We know who Stokely Hathaway is, but who is Malcolm Bivens?
Who's watching The Bump that's watching NXT? I mean, we're talking about tiers of fans, right? A lot True. Of the tiers just watch Raw. Some of them watch Raw and SmackDown. I'd say the hardcore ones watch NXT. But when you come to The Bump, that's a very different crowd. I mean, that's a lot
True.
Of like,
but
that's
it gotta be consistent, bro. Seth Rollins is Seth Rollins where he goes.
That's a digital crowd. That's a different crowd. Digital crowd versus on-air TV crowd is a two different things. So You can get by with that. I mean, fine. The hardcores like you know, for example, Flobo, will know that, right? But that, in comparison to like the casual fan, that doesn't make an impact. We see him freshly on NXT. It's like, and he's with two behemoths. Not like he's going out there cutting promos alone, right? He's already over because of those two guys.
Got it. Emily, may final thoughts on this?
No, I'm just I'm interested to see. Sorry, that was my cat behind me.
What's your cat's name?
It's Batman. It's Batman.
That's Figaro. She loves to be on conference calls. So
Figaro, wow. The virtual
like Pinocchio.
Jack's cat was stolen.
Yeah. So apologize for that.
That's cool, man. Hey, man, that'll pop the ratings. We need more animals.
If you check my Instagram, you'll see all my cat photos.
I got a cat here too.
Really? Where? I'm just kidding. I got to get all the pops you need. So moving on, we had an interesting match to me. Was very interesting in a lot of ways. Dexter Lumis, a guy that was in last year's NXT Breakout Tournament, coming out against Jake Atlas. For those of you who don't know about Jake Atlas, go back to his videos. Independent star, recently signed. And WWE has a bad history with superstar signings like Jake Atlas. Not saying the loss in this case affects him or anything, but I think I want to talk to you more about Dexter. Here's somebody that's doing a gimmick that's almost AEW level, if I could be bold. But even though we've seen that he's supposed to be this intense player, do you think he's going to have a role here in NXT today, or is like the game is about to pass that gimmick by? Jim Alexander, I'm going to start with you.
Oh, I love it. This is my second coming of Dominic, my boy, Double D. This is exactly what I thought when I saw my boy come out the first time. I see a star here because, like, right away, I can see three different characters in him, right? Like, you have the insane kind of cycle that you tried to do with Lars Sullivan, in a sense, right? You have a little bit of that. You have the military kind of gimmick, right, too. Mm-hmm. And, well, you kind of have, like, the porn star look to him. So there's, like, three different things. Well, the mustache and everything, a modern porn army guy. Yes, that's what I mean. No, but the guy's got a psychotic look in his face. I thought he looked well in a ring. You know, I thought his style was fine. It kind of was like a brawler, bruiser, in a sense. And I see potential. You see, when we talk about characters, I already see a character right away when he comes out, right? With the music, the Titantron, all that. Like, it's already, you're already you got a foundation for him. And he didn't disappoint in the ring. I'm interested in him. His eyes, his look, his demeanor, I'm curious about him. And that's already a great start for a guy when you're curious about him at first sight, in a sense, when he comes out and debuts.
Just ask him out already, Emily May.
Yeah. Just go, like, send him a love letter already.
I love your eyes, bro.
Listen, so man, that dude can do a lot, okay?
I'm curious.
So, like, I get the military. Like, I was looking at him and trying to figure out what his style, what message, what kind of brand.
I just told you three messages.
I know, but let
everyone's
me talk.
Different, Kim. Come on.
So I get it. You could see the military vibe. You have like the green and you have his in the tattoos and like he's built very well. He has some great moves in the ring. But what I'm confused about is I feel like all those three that you speak of, all those three messages, I don't know if they're clear enough to be all together, if that makes sense. You know, like it's like meshing together too much that I feel like it needs to have a clearer branding where we know exactly who he is. Cause you just explained him in three things.
Three scenarios you can take him. That's why they have time. This is a debut, right? So now we have time every week to see more growth and see more of which one it is, right? Same thing with Damian Priest. We thought he was this clubber guy, this New York guy. He came out, then I think he's like, some, you know, he's shooting an arrow and all that, and that got all mushed up and bad, right? It didn't turn out what they wanted it to be. With this guy, this is a debut. We have three immediate, at least in my mind, ideas that come up, what he could play, what he could be like, and now let's see what he picks. Like, what he's going to run with, right? You could be a Lars Sullivan. Technically, they could book him like in a way like Lars Sullivan was booked, and it could be that. You know, the crazy eyes have something kind of a sign of what they want him to be, but we have time. Right, there's a lot of options right now, but I hope they're going to pick one and kind of develop him.
It's a good point because even though he's smaller than Lars, I would believe him more in that role. I'm not sure if it's still canon, but when he appeared last summer, he had like the giant apron, like he was a butcher. I'm not sure if like a serial killer kind of vibe.
Yeah, he does kind of have that like serial killer vibe where you're and like he doesn't blink. Like on commentary, they were talking about his eyes are really kind of direct and kind of it's kind of scary. So I think they just need to pick a direction, be really like diligent and strong about it. And then he could bring in his moves and have a distinct finisher, have a distinct a style that will set you apart from everyone else. And that's hard when you're just debuting and just developing.
So let me ask you, Emily, about Jake Atlas, right? So here's someone that was signed recently. And if you guys seen his matches, if you haven't, check him out on YouTube. Mm-hmm. A lot of upside for this guy. Was it too soon for him to be the sacrificial lamb against Dexter, or just all muddled up with the global pandemic and just deal with it, Flobo? It's not being so critical.
You know, I mean, why not? You have all this new talent getting signed. And, you know, right now is like a prime time to have a debut. So, you know, and he's been around the independent circuit for a long time. So I think it was a perfect, when I was watching it, I felt like it was a perfect complementary match that they both were paired really well. they both kind of had the same type of matchup. So I feel like it was a good thing for him to have his debut tonight.
That impressed Jim?
No. I mean, we saw who's getting pushed, right? The guy that we just talked about.
True.
Goes over him, and that's what mattered, right? The guy that has more of a character went over.
This is what really ticked me off about commentary, because it seemed like Roberts and Phillips both telegraphed the mess. We really knew that Dexter was going over because his music is a Stranger Things theme song kind of sounding thing. Right. But as soon as they were like, oh, he's deliberate. Look at his eyes. It's like, oh, you pretty much spoiled this match for me personally. I'm not saying it went out there, but
yeah.
You
know. So do you think they called, like, commentary called it for you?
Yeah.
By what they were saying?
It's actually in my notes, like commentary telegraphed for the victor here, which it's, again, very minute thing. We watch wrestling all the time. Maybe it's me being critical, but I was like, you know.
Yeah, but it's good to know, like, what are those triggers for you and what, like, gives it away?
Yeah, because I don't know. Sometimes you can have one bad experience with a wrestler or a match, and that can write you off. Like, everyone says, why do you like Edge? And I'm like, well, Edge is going to do it for me because, you know what I mean? Like, who knows?
And for Jake Atlas, I'm interested to see if they're going to, like, because this was his first debut match, if they're going to change any of his branding or kind of, like, plus it up a little bit and kind of shape it a little bit. I'm interested to see what they do.
Time will tell. Jim Alexander, before we move on, can you do me a favor and tell the world, hey, listen to this AfterBuzz show and the AfterBuzz shows?
Listen, you have nothing else to do out there, so be productive and, like I said, sanitize and just subscribe. You know, tell your friends, call them up, actually, you know, make some contact with other humans and subscribe, comment, come and join in a chat. Like, what else would you do really right now? Besides watching old tapes and stuff. So more of you should be joining in this chat, commenting, interacting. And of course, if I'm not saying it's for you to drive, but if you're driving somehow to the grocery store, at least tune us in on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. And remember, stay safe, stay sanitized, and don't do anything I wouldn't do.
And wear masks.
Well, if they have
nothing better to do. Oh my goodness. Okay. Let's talk about this massive mammoth women's gauntlet match with the winner getting the last spot in the ladder match of next week's TakeOver episode. Five women are going during the battle. Dakota Kai eventually won the match. Let's talk about Shotzi Blackheart. The first seed in this matchup went the distance and debuted not only her submission move here, her submission maneuver, but also her senton to prove that it could end matches. Emily May, I want to start with you as a co-host of Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly at AfterBuzz TV. Who was the big winner of this match? And who was, were there any losers?
Yeah, I mean, I think Shotzi Blackheart was the winner in the sense of she shined tonight. I feel like this was her moment to go against multiple women, showcase her new moves, like you said, and really kind of show that she can be a shining star in the women's division. I feel like there were moments where it got a little muddled, but I feel like she did a great job tonight. And even though Dakota Kai took the big win, I feel like this was a great shining moment for all the women in the match.
So taking Shotzi off the table, who do you think would be the second one to break out here? Like, we all know Dakota Kai went over, but who else got over, in your opinion? It's got Aaliyah, Deonna Purrazzo, Xia Li, Kayden Carter.
I would say Xia Li and Kayden Carter, I think, surprised me tonight. I mean, they always do a great job, but I feel like they really tried to kind of showcase what they can do in this type of situation. I feel like gauntlet matches are very unique, and they're very sometimes difficult to kind of, especially without the fans, very difficult to kind of engage. But I feel like those two were my second in doing well tonight.
Sure. Jim Alexander, this was a four-segment matchup. Shotzi Blackheart kind of almost went the distance here. Dakota Kai, Raquel get involved. Thoughts about the way this match ended? I mean, overall, the match itself, but the actual finish, I want your opinion on this one.
It was fine. I mean, you need it. The right person won, right? Dakota Kai's got a long-lasting story. If you put anyone else in that match, it just wouldn't feel right. I mean, I think you have a really good good roster now in that ladder match. I think anyone is almost, maybe besides Candice LeRae, has a chance to win, right? I think it's one of the more unpredictable.
Why not Candice?
Because she hasn't gotten over ever and she won't. Okay, she's like that veteran.
Wait, so you don't think Candice is gonna win the ladder match?
Why not?
Because she hasn't gotten, she's an enhancement. She's a mid-carder. She's a straight-up mid-carder that she's...
You love that word.
A better version of her husband, maybe, okay? Or even the same level. She's got a lot of things that her husband does when it comes to getting over. So I just don't see her as... Like, everyone's got potential there in a sense. Like, she's just a... We know what Candice LeRae is, right? Chelsea Green has a massive potential right now to take this.
She's
and
not
really,
going to take it.
Why
she's
not?
Not gonna take it. I don't think she's ready.
Why? If she wasn't ready, she wouldn't be in that match and wouldn't be the first winner. But going back to this match, the right person won, who could also be the winner of the ladder match. I'd give her a shot too. You know.
Okay.
As far as one person that bothered me, it was that Perrazzo needs to get a better push. I don't understand how she came out first and just went out first, right, in that match. She's got a gimmick. She's got a storyline, at least in a sense, you know, and that's it. It's much easier to get her to get over because she's got something there already, right? And Kayden Carter, all we've seen from her is just getting jobbed every week lately. It's not that I don't like her any sense because I think
I love her.
Lobo loves her.
Let me bring out Sarah 2020.
Yeah, but they haven't booked her right. So she's just been losing. So she had no chance. The right person won. I think it was a fine match. You know, I have nothing special to say about the ending of this match or anything. I just thought it was the right winner. And you know what? It went the way it should.
I agree with you about Deonna Purrazzo. Look, she has a lot of that it factor. And I think it's one of the situations where they keep saying, oh, she has it. We'll get back to her. And it's totally been to her detriment. But let's look at this ladder match. It's going to be next week. Io Shirai, Candice LeRae, Tegan Knox, Mia Yim, Chelsea Green, and Dakota Kai are in this. Here's my bold prediction. Knowing that who's going to be the number one contender, does that all but guarantee that Rhea Ripley retains this weekend at WrestleMania?
No, not at all.
Do you want to see Charlotte versus Tegan Knox? Do you really want to see that match?
Charlotte's not going to go to NXT. There's no way that's happening. She could win this match and drop the title. Basically be like, yeah, I proved my point. Like I said on Monday night, she can easily win this match and be like, I proved what I needed to prove. It's like her just proving a point, right? She doesn't need that title or want that title maybe. So she can win that match. As far as does that diminish the title? Maybe it depends how it's booked. You know, that's the whole thing. But for me, Rhea Ripley, either whether she retains or not, look at the potential opponents. I think her versus Chelsea Green could be a really interesting program, especially Green. You know, having the promos, Chelsea doesn't even have to cut the promos. She's got a promo speaker right there for her. Her versus Tegan Knox, if you want to break up the Dakota Kai, Tegan Knox thing, that could be interesting too. I mean, there's a lot of interesting potential here. And even Io, you know, versus Ripley would be interesting. There's options here.
Ali May?
Yeah, I mean, I it's going to get so complicated because there's so many matchups that you could possibly do.
Right.
And I know everyone keeps talking about, you know, Charlotte taking the championship away from Rhea Ripley. And I'm not sure, I'm torn between whether it's a good idea or not and what it will do to change like the DNA of NXT. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't think Charlotte's actually the favorite here. I think everyone's really – I think it's one of the most unpredictable matches we got on a card. We can predict all the other ones, but when it comes to Charlotte, like we said, we don't really know what's going to happen. They have multiple options and scenarios here, you know? So I think that's the most unpredictable match at WrestleMania potentially.
Jim, I love your opinions and insight, but now it's time for my second favorite segment ever. It's now time for King's Court. You don't get a drop.
Oh, hail Jim Alexander.
No drop. No music drop.
I don't agree with that.
What?
Nope.
Listen. Everyone, listen to Jim Alexander. He's the best. Thanks, Lana. My boy Rusev gave a shout out somewhere. And back to the King's Court. At King's Court, we are in practicing isolated social distancing. So it's good. Everyone's feeling good. We have Liv Morgan right here.
Kind of lonely.
Okay. We have Liv Morgan. That's
isn't Liv Morgan always on your list?
She has to be. Flobo, I might do a tutorial how to land a Liv Morgan with you and how to get a Mandy Rose with you, okay?
Oh boy.
They're not scheduled for WrestleMania because they're scheduled for the King's Court. We're bringing in Peyton Royce. We called up Mackenzie Mitchell now that she's done with NXT tonight, filming and taping. Come on over. We have ABC Ashley, who I don't know where she's working now right now, but come on over. We have everyone. My boy Dominic is manning the door after this loss. Okay, we have everyone here in the King's Court. Lana, come over. Anyone who's not employed right now, Rusev, there's a job at the door. So come on over to King's Court. It's all going down
here. You
have
to social distance, though.
I can't imagine.
Everyone has been checked. Okay, Lashley's not available right now because, you know, he might not be completely. We don't know the situation there. So we're taking precautions.
All these women going, what are we doing here? Why are we here?
Listen, we have sanitizer. We have masks if needed. We have gloves if needed. Okay, everything is taken care of here. My sister's a nurse. Okay, we got the proper precautions and everything taken.
Oh my God.
Safest place.
Before we get on to our next match, it's now time for a segment I had to call Lockdown Playlist. If you're like me and you're watching WWE Network all the time, every day, WrestleMania season, here's a pay-per-view card of NXT. You can go back and check out. Underrated pay-per-view, in my opinion, NXT TakeOver San Antonio from 2017. The main event was Shinsuke Nakamura against a phenomenal or glorious Bobby Roode. This guy was money back in NXT. I don't know what happened. That main event was pretty solid. I got to say, AOP had a match against DIY, which you also check out, and Asuka beat both the Iconics and Nikki Cross in a match which stole the show. So if you have some time, go back on the Lockdown Playlist, check out NXT TakeOver San Antonio.
Thanks, Hobo. No problem.
That was a good one. That was a good, a glorious one.
Those are good ones that I'm like, oh, yeah. I got to go back and watch them.
Yeah. Thanks for helping me putting it over. Let's talk about this match, about two superstars that kind of found a lot losing their way here in NXT. Kushida, which I forgot was on the roster, had a match against Joaquin Wild, a guy I remember last time he won a match, in a match where Kushida went over. Now, Jim Alexander, I know you feel about Kushida being a guy that could have so much potential, so much more, but when the match started, did you really think he was going to win, or you thought it was actually Joaquin Wild's time tonight?
Oh, no, no. I knew Kushida's going to win. Joaquin Wild is just almost a gimmick. He's just basically a gimmick. His best attributes are, I mean, he's good in a ring, but his entrance and his mask and all that, and then there's nothing left with him. So I don't buy into him. But Kushida, I knew he was going to win. But here's the problem. It's about Kushida here, because Kushida has not been what we expect him to be. He has not gotten to the level. Remember those whole signing poses with Triple H? We signed the biggest guy from Japan and all this hype that was there. It is completely flamed out. I just think the guy could be better. I just think it's lost cause almost at this point. We're entering territory of no return where it's like we expect it. Unfortunately, a lot of the Asian wrestlers who come over to Japanese talent finds themselves in this place after a few months, you know, and look at the history of NXT. Look at how many guys are already gone, you know, that were hyped up. I just think it's really falling flat with Kushida. I didn't want to see it. I was hoping there'd be more, but even his entrance isn't going over anymore. I'm done with that.
It's only got new music as well. Emily May, thoughts about the match and what happened after the match with Joaquin Wild getting abducted?
Yeah. So, I mean, I love Kushida. I've loved him since I first saw him. And I feel like I'm going to say I agree with Jim, because I feel like he is getting, I know, right?
What?
He's getting lost. He's kind of getting lost in the shuffle because he's so fantastic and bringing that type of like style of wrestling to NXT and to WWE is so important, to have like a diverse style of wrestling. And that's so important, but it's getting lost. Like, he's not having the right opponents in order to make him really shine. He's just having these like miniature matches that just aren't aren't building to something bigger. I mean, maybe it is, and maybe they need a more well-rounded story around it to build to, but I feel like he's getting lost. The abduction, I am so like sad it happened, I guess, but also excited. I'm sad and excited because I think because who got kidnapped?
Joaquin Wild was like, I'm always losing.
Joaquin Wild, and then no, but a few weeks ago, I'm blanking. Raul.
People are getting abducted. So
people keep getting abducted, right? Yeah.
They might do good for him. Hey, what's Joaquin Wild got going on for him? At least there's some injury. Hey, what happened to Joaquin Wild? At least. Yeah. There's some curiosity to
There's
right?
curiosity, and it's like, oh, are they building a new faction? Like, what are they building to? And I'm excited to see where it's going, because I want to know what happens. And I want to know who's in charge and who's doing it.
I was so scared. Mackenzie almost got, you know, taken with Joaquin. Thankfully, it was only Joaquin. And Mackenzie still
can't. I know, she tried to save King's the day.
Just over it. Well, here's the deal about Kushida. I feel like you're right. He needs a place, maybe a smaller pond. Hot take, I would send him over to England. I would send him over to UK.
Nice.
I
think
he could. Yeah, I like that. Upside yeah. He needs wins. He needs wins. Literally, that's what he needs right now is wins, okay, to get him back to kind of a level where we legitimize him again as someone that's an up-and-coming guy that should look out for, because he's gotten a lot of losses, especially against guys who are on his, supposedly on his level in the mid-card or even higher that they put him against.
Yeah. Poor guy, man, because I mean, I like the whole time splitter thing, and you watch the Japanese matches and make him sound like he's a big event, not even a star, like an event, like, oh, it's Kushida. And when he was tagging with Alex Shelley, it was like, oh, the time splitters are amazing. And here it is kind of like, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah, then again, Barrow has been on commentary. Yeah, there's an energy that's different with his Japanese matches than it is here at NXT. And so trying to find that, you know.
I am so glad you said that word, Emily, that energy, because our main event was a three-way dance for the North American title. Keith Lee, Dominik Dijakovic, make sure I say it right because Jim always messes me up.
My boy, Dominik Dijakovic.
Damian Priest, which I thought Priest had his most complete performance since being called to the roster. But here's the thing. I think so, as far as like character versus moveset and all that stuff. Mm. Here's a match where I think would have been so much better if the crowd was there, because it did everything as far as character work, but it just seemed very slow and deliberate. Emily, may I start with you? Thoughts about the main event?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you that there's certain parts of matches that you need, like Keith Lee, when he walks out, you know the fans are going to go wild. There's going to be an energy there that's magnetic, that's literally going to bring people together to fight and to cheer for the person that they want to win. And it's hard translating that energy when no one's in.
When Sam Robb is on commentary, you're right.
I didn't say that.
Fair enough.
So you have to find those moments that are going to energize the match for the people watching on the screen. Yeah. And I feel like they did have moments of that, but it doesn't necessarily have the same effect. Yeah. And I did thoroughly enjoy it. I always rooting for Keith Lee. Dijakovic did,
Who?
Fantastic.
Dijakovic!
My boy, that's not his name. Here we go. When it comes to this match, I thought it was actually disappointing from what we saw with my boy and Keith Lee last time. They put on, one of the best matches we're going to have this year. It was an instant classic. And I thought Priest was the problem here because he slowed it down and he missed spots. So many of the top rope spots, he missed them. He either like tripped over, he took too long, he was lagging on a lot of things. He just wasn't in sync with those guys. Those guys work really well together. And I felt the addition of Priest slowed it down and he missed spots. I counted at least four spots that Priest slowed down and missed when they were trying to, most of them top rope spots. So I thought he was a detriment to this match. And it just, I mean, granted, I mean, listen, the crowd or not, of course they're going to have a better reaction with the crowd because these two guys can get a crowd going for sure. But I feel like if it was Dominik and Keith Lee solo, it would have been a better match with Priest. I just don't think he was able to catch on with them and kind of get their timing and flow, because it just felt off for me the whole match. It was just not what I expected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did some really intricate moves at the top of the rope and with all three of them. Right. And you have a lot of it that's very intricate, that it did feel like they were still trying to navigate exactly what they were going to do before they did it. And
yeah, Priest was holding him up. I think he missed a lot of those spots. I really feel like he didn't sell like some of these spots or missed them simply.
I got to disagree with you, man. And I feel like, actually, no, I take it back. I agree with you that Priest made some mistakes, right? Yep. But what I'm saying is those guys, I'm talking about Dominik and Keith, didn't have the best performance either. It was a sloppy match. And I felt like the crowd would have been into it a lot more, because again, when you have one guy, doesn't matter who it is, it's a lot easier to coordinate than a triple threat match. But here you guys trying to do the whole deliberate, elaborate selling and have their mistakes, and there's no way to cover it up with this is awesome because there's no one in the building. It just became like a C plus or B minus match overall. But I wouldn't put the blame completely on Damian Priest. It's not fair.
I don't think it's one person. I think all three of them have to work together in order to kind of cover, like if they are having issues, to cover up the spaces that they might be like lagging, or that maybe they missed an aspect of it. Like it's all three of them that have, like if you're selling for too long and not ready to hit your mark on the other side, then you need to like be aware of everything that's happening in the ring. And when you're not, and not in tune to that, it shows, especially when you're broadcasting.
And a big problem here, actually, besides some of the missed spots and not being the quality that we expect from these guys, my boy should not be getting pinned. Let's talk real here.
I agree.
There's no way he should be. He lost. He got pinned cleanly last few times against Keith Lee. For him getting pinned, this is – Damian Priest is nowhere near the level that my guy is and the way they've been pushing him. Truth, you know? And if he can hang with Keith Lee, supposedly it's like, you know, inch by inch, right? They're so close and equal to each other. And for him to be taking the fall every time, that's a bad look.
Clean, though. I mean, he got hit with a pole.
Yeah, I know, but still, he should not be taking a loss, like getting pinned, you know, two or three consecutive times by Keith Lee. Why is Damian Priest not getting it? He hasn't established anything. He's still kind of floating around. Damian Priest should have taken this loss.
I think that's the best possible scenario. If it was a clean loss, I'm with you. But the fact that Damian Priest got a weapon involved doesn't hurt Damian Priest. Dominic Jacoby got sucker punched or sucker kneed or whatever. I think it's fine. Or what have you.
I don't think he should be getting pinned.
My boy, Dominic Djokovic.
My boy, that's right. My boy, Dominic Djokovic.
All right, well, NXT TakeOver rolls on next week with that women's ladder match. I can't wait for that because I guess it's no longer Tampa, but the logo is still a pirate. It's called Crossbones. But it's now time for us to get out of here. Jim Alexander, where can the world find you online?
Well, they can find me where they've always been stalking me and looking for me and talking crap about me. So keep on sending it over at the Jim Alexander and social media. Oh, no, don't call the music over me. Follow me on Real Talker, realtalker.com, Real Talker on YouTube. Subscribe. I'm around.
Emmy May!
All right, so you can find me on all social media channels, Twitter and Instagram, at Emily May Heller. Check it out. Lots of WrestleMania content coming this weekend.
Can't believe it, of course. It's at Lobo Voice on Twitter, at Flopito on Instagram. Hello, everyone. My name is Lobo Voice. My website is Flopito.com. New content every week. Support the homie and buy a t-shirt at Flopito.threadless.com. And until next time, buzz you.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.